keep going,
because you know it's more than just one verse. So we want to highlight and see and begin to understand from this one verse. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. It reads, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way."
Amen.
This is Paul, called to be an apostle, writes to the Corinthian church and to us. "But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way." Our subject, striving for excellence in kingdom building today. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name. God, just have your way within us. Have your way within us. Lord, touch us, strengthen us, mold us, make us, break us, use us, fill us. Have your way, God, right now. We know that you know everything about us. We know our circumstance, our situation. Pour into us, God, that we need to be more of what you would have us to be. Spirit of the living God, just fall fresh on us. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you. We magnify your name. It's not by accident that we're here on today, God, to receive this word from you. So speak to us and open our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, our hearts that we might believe. Spirit of the living God, just fall fresh on us. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But now I will show you the most excellent way. Today is a day that we have never seen or experienced before. Let me say that again. Today is a day that we've never seen or experienced before. Let us not give up on today. No matter how routine today was and appears to be, we've done some things this morning that we've been doing all our lives. But you've never experienced today. Let me say it again. You've never had this day before. You won't have it again, but you've never had it before. It may seem like just a regular day, or just another part of your life, or just like the last part of your life, but this is a day that you have never experienced before. You may have experienced some of the things you've done today, but you've never experienced this day. It's a brand new day. You may anticipate what you're going to do the rest of the day, but you really don't know how your day could change any moment, in a second, while you're sitting right here in worship. No matter how routine the day may seem, you've never seen the day before. You might have some pains and some aches and some trials and some situations that you had on yesterday, but this is a brand new day. I want us to see this day with a day as a day of excitement. You might say it seems like the same old thing, but be excited about it. It's not the same old thing, because it's a brand new day. You may experience something today that you've never experienced before, or you may experience something in someone else that you've never experienced before. Even folk you may have given up on and thought they couldn't hear, or they wouldn't receive, or they just weren't right to receive what you had for them. This just may be the day that they get it, so don't give up on folk, because this is a brand new day. Again, a day you've never seen before. There may be experiences that you've never had before that you have on today. You've probably seen somebody today you've never seen before. Somebody might just speak to you and never spoke to you before. I'm just saying, it's a brand new day. I'm excited about the brand new day. We can get caught up on what has happened and how folk have treated us and what has happened in the past and miss what God has for us in the future because of what has happened. But today is a brand new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. You might as well rejoice. and be laying in it. I know our mission statement seems old and redundant because we've said it so many times. Seeking God, but today, as we transform into hearing a vision statement that I'm praying that we would grasp and get greater clarity on, I'm praying that we would add to our mission statement, our vision statement, and the vision part being striving for excellence in kingdom building. Striving for excellence in kingdom building. It's more than just words to repeat over and over again. It's a new day, a new opportunity to do God's will. Striving for excellence in kingdom building. Come on, let's say that together. Striving for excellence in kingdom building. That becomes a vision. Now, a mission, the way we strive for excellence in kingdom building is through seeking God, shaping lives, and serving the world. Aren't you just excited about a day that you've never seen before? Just think about it. You really didn't have to see this day today. On this side. I mean, you really didn't have to be here today. I don't mean just here in the first half. But you look that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I stand here to tell you would be in a great place if you were not here. You wouldn't worry about the temperature of the building if it's too hot or too cold. That would be last on your mind if you were gone from this place having accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't worry about the heat. You don't have to worry about the air. You don't have to worry about the conditions around you because you go to a better place, a house not made with hands, eternal into heaven if you know the Lord. But if in fact you are not saved or you're not sure whether or not you're saved, you show enough me to thank the Lord that you're here this morning. Lord, I so love thank you. Because if you think it's hot right here, right now, we ought to be excited about this day that God has given us. There may be some problems, but there are also some solutions. On today, you might spend more money than you intended to spend, but you might get more money than you expected to get. It's just a new day. Today, he might just look your way. Today, she might just speak to you. This is a brand new day. So today, with anticipation of what God will do in our lives, especially those of us who love God, those who are connected to his kingdom, I want us to quickly take a look at excellence in kingdom building. Excellence. Excellence is defined as one of the highest or finest qualities. Exceptionally good for his kind. So excellence would be the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. The quality of being outstanding or extremely good. Notice what Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:31. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way. Yeah. Excellent, I already told you, the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. But what is most? Because he says, most excellent way. Most, by definition, is to the greatest or the highest level. To the greatest or highest level. So Paul does not just speak about an excellent way, but he speaks about a most excellent way for God's church. For those who believe God, for those who trust God, the followers of Christ. So what is this most excellent way? Yeah, well, those who've been Bible study, those who've been here long enough and heard me talk and find a scripture and a text that we talk about, there's one thing you know that I try my best to teach us. Whenever you want to have a better understanding of the text that we're reading, what is it that you must do? See what comes before it and what comes after it. Well, you made me proud this morning. Thank you, Christopher. Amen. Look at what comes before and what comes after. We're going to spend time doing that, and I'm done. In chapter 12, Paul speaks about spiritual gifts that God gives to all believers. I want you to take time to read it. You're reading today, and I would have had the deacons read it and the ministers read it. That's going to take a little bit of time. but read all of chapter 12 that talks about the gifts that God has given to every believer. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God moves in his own special way and he equips us with gifts. These are gifts for the upbuilding of his kingdom. These are gifts for God's purpose. I know sometimes we get gifts and we want to use them for my own self and what I want to do. And when I use these gifts, I want you to applaud me and tell me what a great gift you have. But the gifts were not given to us for ourselves. They were given for us to edify the body of Christ. It was given to us to build up his church. It was given to us so the church could be the vessel that will transform an entire world. So he talks about the gifts. And in the church, there were some folk who had certain gifts and other gifts, and they were looking at each other like, because I have a gift, I can speak in tongues, or I can prophesy, or I can do this, or I can do that, then therefore I must be better than you are because you have a different gift. Your gift is not as pronounced as my gift. And they were having this situation, this issue within the church. Paul begins to address this about the gifts that God has given everyone. He says, yes, you ought to desire these gifts. You ought to want to have these gifts. And when you have these gifts, you use them properly. But don't think that because you have one gift or somebody has another gift, that you are greater than that person because your gift tends to be greater. He said, you can desire a greater gift. You can desire something else. You don't have to have a problem with that because, again, all the gifts are given by God. So even though you desire the gift, even though you desire to have what you say you want to have, God is great enough and he determines what you can handle. Let me say it again. God is the one who determines what we can handle. He may want to give you more gifts, but how you handle the one that he's already given you? He may want you to have even more than what you have now. God can give you greater if you can appreciate what you have. God wants us not to look down on other folks for whatever reason. He said, we are one body. That's what Paul talks about in 12. We're one body in Christ. Just like you have one body, we want our body to work together. We're many parts, but one body. Your hand don't be fussing at your feet. What part of your body do you not want? Folk walk around with bad knees, bad hips, bad elbows. They get them replaced. They don't say, I don't want it. And those things that we have two of, can you see the stomach telling the hands, I'm better than you are because you ain't got but one stomach. We can lose a hand and still make it. The stomach says, yeah, you need me. But he says to us that we all are needed to be a part of the body. And we ought to, as the body wants every member, we as the church ought to want every member. And we all have different gifts. We ought to not highlight one gift or another gift and downplay another gift. We ought to recognize that all the gifts are very important for us to be the body God called us to be. Jesus himself prayed that we might be one. He wants us all to be one, to look at one another, to share with one another, and to be a witness to a dying world that we serve a living Savior. He looks at this all in chapter 12 and begins to tell us how we ought to be one. Tell us how the body ought to function. How the physical body functions, and then he tells us we need one another. But let me ask you, what if we can't stand each other? And we have issues with one another? Yeah, it's that kind of sermon this morning. What if you do believe your gift is better than somebody else's gift? What if we start looking at each other funny just because we desire, we want to look at you funny because other folk look at you funny. Other folk don't trust you, so I don't trust you. Other folk don't like you, I don't like you. I heard what you said, what they said, your grandmama said about my great granddaddy. I'm still mad about all that. Paul talks to us about being one. But he acknowledges the fact that as the church, and even the Corinthian church, back in the first century, that they had issues with each other. And he wanted, and you know that God wants us to be together and to be one, but yet Satan will do his part to divide, to conquer, to make us see all kinds of different things about each other and not be the church God has called us to be. So Paul begins to tell us, even though you have these gifts, he says, go ahead and desire the greater gifts. No issue with you desiring that. No issue with you asking God to make you greater so you can serve better and you can serve more. He said, but let me show you the most excellent way. Let me show you the way to deal with the gifts you have and how it will make a difference in in the life of the church. He says in verse 31, but even in desire the greater gifts. But now I will show you the most excellent way. And then we go to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, he talks about the most excellent way, and the most excellent way is love. Please don't talk at. Please don't stop listening. And say, oh, your pastor go again. You preaching about love. Let me take my nap. Because today is a day you never saw before. Today could be an experience that you never had before. So allow God to just for a moment briefly speak to you one more time about what love is and what he desires for us as his church. And let's listen to what love is based upon the word of God, not based upon what somebody's talking about. Not based upon what Tina Turner said. Or even Luther Vandross. Let's do it on what God says. He starts off with this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels. In other words, if I can eloquently speak, am I gifted in such a way that when I speak, the words just fall off my mouth like honey? And it could hit the ear, and it's so pleasing to the ear that every word that is spoken is a word that will just make you sit on the edge of your seats, and you're amazed at the way the words flow out and how eloquent it is, because God has gifted an individual to be able to speak in such a way that you can't but listen to every word that proceeds out of them. He said, you have all of that ability to speak, and you're gifted, and you can speak like men, you can speak like angels, you can speak with the power and authority that comes from wherever it comes from, and you're such a wonderful oracle. You can just speak and speak and speak and talk, but listen. He said, if you have that gift, if you have that ability, you have all of that, but have not love. It's only like banging on garbage can top. It's just a bunch of noise. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, break this down. If I have a gift of prophecy, if I can tell you what will happen, I can foretell things, if I have all the mysteries, if I knew everything that was about science and everything that we could discover, then we could discover the discovery on the discovery. Right. And then you could discover the discovery on the discovery that had another discovery when you discovered the discovery. And when you discover that discovery and find another discovery, and you find all these scientific things, you find all these things to do greater things you've ever done before. If you had a mind that was so sharp that could do these things. He said, even if you have a mind that was so sharp, and if you have all knowledge, he said, all knowledge, that's some knowledge. He's not talking about just knowledge from graduating from high school and graduating from college and going to get your master's and your doctorate degree. He's talking about if you have all knowledge, that's knowledge beyond all of that. If you have four or five different disciplines that you work in, that you study in, and that you've learned, and you knew everything there was to know about everything. Even if you could be faith and say, I have faith, I have so much faith that I could look at an object and it could move. I could look at the mountain would move. I have such faith that I could do just about anything at any time because I have faith that God used me and I could do this. He said, if you have all this stuff and have not love, I am nothing. If that wasn't enough, he goes down to us as missionaries. And those that are true servants. If I give all I possess to the poor, what noblest thing could you do? I just give all I have to the poor. Put myself in a position where I'll be poor myself. But I give all I have to the poor. I'm just giving. I'm giving to the poor. I'm meeting the needs of others with everything that I have. And if I surrender my body to the flames, or as King James put it, my body to be burned. Now, don't get twisted with that one. That's a higher level and all. If you're talking about physically burning your entire body, but during this time and culture, They also allowed folk to become servants of other folk. And when you became a servant of another folk, you would be burned with a brand. And that brand would be permanent. And you would be showing that you belong to someone else, that you're a servant of somebody else. And if you decided on your own, without any having to do it or being made to do it, you decide to take on the brand so you can say, I'm branded and I'm a servant of this person or that person or this family because I desire to do that because I humbled myself down to the point where I will be a servant of all. So go ahead and brand me. Go ahead and burn my body. Go ahead and put whatever mark you want to put on me. I'm giving myself up so I can be used by others. How altruistic can that be? I'm giving everything up. I'm selling all. I'm giving all my stuff away. And I'm presenting my body so I can be a servant. But have not love, you gain nothing. I pray that out of all the messages you heard on love and what love is and what God does and how much God does, it's my prayer that we hear that out of all the great things we do and desire to do, Paul speaks to us about what true excellence is. He says, you have all this stuff, whatever we do, we ought to do it with a heart that's saturated with love. We ought to act out of love. We ought to act out of, because our love for God and the things that we do and the things that we say and how we give, the way we respond back to folks, all those responses ought to be because of love. Now, I love it about Greek. The Greek kind of keep it together for us because in English, yeah, somebody can tell you, I love you, and you don't have a clue what they're talking about. But in Greek, you couldn't get away with that because they broke down love, at least the four different ones. So you had to be specific about what love you're talking about. Yeah, in English, they tell you, I love you. You don't know what they're talking about. I love you like a brother or a sister. Yeah, affiliate. I just love you like a relationship. You don't know if they're talking about soul. You don't know what love they're talking about like a daughter or a brother. Sometimes you may be hoping they're talking about a romantic love. And they ain't saying, I don't love you like that. In Greek, they would have had to use the word eros. And you would have known what they were talking about. But in English, we just say love. And that covers a whole bunch of stuff. But the love he's talking about here is agape love. That's the, I love you, not because of, but I love you even in spite of. It's a love that transcends whatever else we think about. It's the kind of love that God has for us and what Jesus did for us. Oh, he's telling us to love in spite of. He's telling us that's the love that we need to have. That's what he's written, agape love. He's telling us we need to love. And how did and how does Jesus love us? Because we love the way that he loves us. Our Sunday school lesson that was forgiving to way, the way that God forgives us. Well, how did God love us? I'm glad you asked. You know the answer to how much God loved us. You know how God loved us so much that Jesus came through 42 generations. You know that God loved us so much that the scripture says, and while we were yet sinners. Let me help you understand that. While we are still messed up and we're in our holy state. Yeah, why we didn't get dressed up, why we weren't looking up, why we didn't have the sense enough to get it right and the answer to give us of all our stuff, why we were yet sinners, why we were still in our mess, why we had messed up, why we were at our lowest point, why we had done stuff we hadn't been doing and not done stuff we should have done, why we were yet sinners, why we were acting the way we shouldn't have been acting and thinking the way we shouldn't have been thinking, why we were doing all kinds of imaginable stuff. And imagine with us why we were doing stuff that if our brother or our sister or our mother or our father or our sister or our brother or somebody else, our friend, if anybody else, if the person sitting next to us knew what we were doing, how we were doing, what we were doing, they would get up and move to sit someplace else. Why we were yet sinners? God didn't hold any of that stuff against us, but he loved us so much that he came and he hung on the cross for your sins and my sins. Oh, yeah. Nailed in his hands, nailed in his feet, crown of thorns on his head. Yeah. And because we sinned and come short, he died. And we celebrate the fact that he died for our sins early on that third day. Yeah. He got up from the grave with power over the celebrated victory over death. We celebrated because we really weren't worthy. But he loved us. And he tells us today, we ought to love like that for other folk. I'm going to close your eyes for me for a moment. Close your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment. Don't sleep, just close your eyes. I want you to think about that person or those persons that you particularly don't like. Think about the ones that you know don't care nothing about you. Just think about them. Yeah, I see your faces. Yeah, that's the one I want you to think about. Right. Think about them right now. God's going to get some glory. Think about them. God says today, love them like I love you.
Yes.
Well, what is that love, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. I got eyes still closed. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. You can read it when you get home or later on. This is what God says love is. Love is patient. Yeah, in other words, if we love like God, we got to put up with folk because God put up with us. Love is kind. You can't ever be unkind trying to suggest you love. Love does not envy. You're not jealous of what somebody else has, or what position somebody else has, or what somebody else is doing.
Amen.
You're not jealous about where they are in life. You love them, so you're not envious.
Right.
Love does not boast. What are you saying? It's about me. So what? This is what I feel. This is how I think. No, love does not boast. Love is reaching out. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. We know we cannot be rude. If we love God, we have to love others. We can't be rude to others. Love is not self-seeking. How I feel, what I want, what I think. I would be pleased if you did it this way. This is for me. Love is not that way. It's not self-seeking. We're seeking God's glory. Oh, my brothers and sisters, please hear this. Love is not easily angered. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Yeah, I'm mad this week because you did the same thing last week and the week before that. And you always messing up. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. In other words, love looks for what's true. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is love? Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love hangs in there. In spite of it. The Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you. Then he said, pray for them and make sure they don't do it again. Pray for them to despitefully use you. If we truly love God, we're definitely going to have to love one another. Love the way God wants us to love, and then we can rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice in spite of who may not love you. But you know who you are loved because of who God is. God loves us. Let me say it again. God loves us. Gracious God, we thank you, we love you, we adore you. We magnify your name. God, you know our hearts. You know our desires. You know where we've come short. You know where we're not everything you desire for us to be. God, we're praying right now that you move on the altars of our hearts individually. Give us a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a heart to reach out to those who may not know you, God, that they may come to know you. Use us, God, that we might be one body, and you might get the praise, the honor, and the glory. Restore us, God, to the relationship with you and with one another, that no matter what we say or we do, you will get glory. Touch our minds, our hearts, our tongues, our lives, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Bless each family that's here and represented, God. Bless families that nobody can bless but you. Every aspect of the family, God, bless, guide, and keep. Bless our going forth and our coming out from this day forward and even forevermore. God, we love you. We thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Have your way in our lives. We're striving for excellence. Let love go before us, God, in everything we see and do. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God loves us. God cares for us. And I guess on today I'm really saying to us, I know every one of us has a reason for why we don't like who we don't like. We've got a reason for why we don't care for certain folks and certain things. But as a pastor, I want you to know, one day we got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't want you to say, Lord, I didn't know. I wish somebody told me. All right, somebody tell me right now. You can't take that stuff with you. You got to say, God, I love you. And the evidence of my love is I'm loving my brothers and sisters. I'm loving those around me. Y'all know how it is in a family when you got the black sheep for the family? Y'all know what I'm talking about? The one that everybody else talks about? And y'all, you know, that person, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't know who the black sheep in your family is, it's you. But I want to say to the black sheep today, don't get upset about it. Just love in spite of. So God will bring you through. God will keep us the same. There might be somebody here today that says, you know, I need the Lord in my life. I can't love without Jesus.
That's right.
If you're here today and you say, I don't want to do this, but I can't do it without Jesus. I need the Lord in my life. You want to send me the invitation to come and accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. There may be others who've already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but do not have a church home. And we're 1990 Fellowship, the First African Baptist Church. We extend you an invitation. Won't you come today? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Won't you come today and say, Lord, I need you, and I love you, and I love you.
Oh,